Who wants to hear about divisions? Who wants to hear about strife? We would rather speak of and hear about peace. One of the most cherished of all scriptural texts is John chapter 20. Peace be with you, says our Lord three times. And one of the most frequently used collects in this chapel pleads with the Lord for peace. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works proceed, give to your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you, may pass our time in rest and quietness. The same plea for peace lies behind the familiar church sign. We've all seen it, even on bumper stickers saying, "No Jesus, no peace," N-O. "No Jesus, no peace," K-N-O-W. We so desperately long for peace and quiet. We yell at our kids, "Give me a little peace." We run off on our vacations to our places out in various parts of the country just to get away for a bit and have a little peace, a breather from the insanity that seems to be so much a part of our day-to-day experience. And so, why does Jesus speak the way he does here? Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Just as bad as that is the introduction to the text. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. What kind of a Jesus is this? Where is the friendly, smiling, loving face that we know so well from the pictures that graced the walls of our Sunday school rooms? This, rather, is an outright challenge. A challenge to you and to me this morning, as Jesus poses the question to us, do you think I came to bring peace? Again, we so desperately seek peace, and yet the call into the ministry brings divisions. It did for Jesus, and it does also for us. It divides our life journey into compartments and sets us on new and diverse paths. It takes us out of the older, more comfortable circumstances of college and career and thrusts us into uncertainty. For no one was this more true than Luther. When Luther chose to enter the monastery and study for the priesthood, it was admittedly not for the best reasons. The story goes that he so feared for his life in the midst of a terrible thunderstorm that he promised Saint Anne he would become a monk if she would save him. Later on, he realized it was not Saint Anne at all who had called him. It was God. Yet even from that less than auspicious beginning, from less than pure motives perhaps, God used Martin Luther as a champion of the pure gospel. But perhaps the most difficult part of entering the monastery, going into the ministry for Luther, was the division it caused in his life. He had to leave behind his law studies, a lucrative endeavor even in the early 1500s. And worse yet was the division that it caused in his own family. His father was depending upon him for support in his later years. His son Martin was, as it were, his retirement plan. Matters were strained between father and son that took years to mend. And yet, we must once again affirm the manner in which God used this man, Luther. After all, it is not so much Luther that we are concerned with at this seminary. It is Luther's Lord. The years of Luther's life sound suspiciously like those of St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. The 95 Theses, disputation, an appearance before the Holy Roman Emperor, declaration as a criminal, and threat of death, excommunication, and so forth. And yet in the end, just as St. Paul says, Luther as well, it was not I, but Christ. When the end came, his pastor asked, do you want to die standing firm on Christ and the doctrine you have taught? Luther answered with a firm yes. No uncertainty there, because he was focused on Christ. And yet, no doubt, some of you here this morning are a little more than uncertain about your circumstances. It could be that you're waiting on a prof to return a paper, or that you're struggling with Hebrew. Or if you're a professor, you have that manuscript circulating, wondering whether or not it will find its way to publication. And of course, there are you, our guests, who are considering which road to take. Should I enter the ministry? Am I worthy? Is Christ really calling me? Or can I support my husband as he makes this huge step and changes our lives forever? Uncertainty, our experience as human beings. But about one thing, there can be no uncertainty: the love and devotion of Christ to us. He is breaking into your life and challenging you to new ventures and endeavors. But it does involve a division, a separation from your past. But that division is one experienced under the cross. And it is underscored by his promise. I have a baptism to undergo. Jesus had already been baptized by John in the Jordan. What could this further baptism be? It is the baptism in blood on the cross. The thorny crown pressed into his head. The nails driven through his hands and feet. And the spear thrust into his side. This baptism was where the full wrath of God over human sin rested directly upon Christ. But in carrying our sins in his body, he crucified them once for all. And as the baptized people of God, there is therefore no longer uncertainty. For all those who have been baptized into Christ's death have also been raised with Christ. And so, in the end, we are faced with a paradox. Christ is the bringer of division. Christ is the bringer of peace. Toward the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus will say, and you will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me. And yet, though all others may desert us, Christ will not leave us orphaned. We do not go forward into the unknown future uncertainly. Peace with God is ours through Christ. He has endured the wrath of God for us. And we are the baptized children of God. And though divisions necessarily come into our lives as followers of our Lord, he will never leave us or forsake us. So even as he bids you, follow me, he promises to be with you always. Our enfleshed Lord remains with us. No matter where our pilgrimage may take us, no matter to what end he calls us, no matter how unworthy we may seem, no matter how uncertain we are, Christ is sure. And he promises that even in the midst of strife and division, peace with God is sure and certain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.